Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, John Kamensky, and this morning's conversation is with Wisconsin Chief Information Officer Matthew Machevsky. Matt, we understand that all states have to comply with a recently passed federal law called the Real ID Act by the year 2008. This law mandates that state-issued IDs meet high security standards. I thought this was for driver's licenses. What does a state chief information officer have to do with this act? And could you tell us about what your state's progress is in doing this?
This is the Real ID Act is going to be one of the largest implementations, I think, across the country of new information systems. And it's going to be an incredible challenge. Part of the concern was in the way that it was passed very quickly by Congress, and everyone is paying very close attention right now to the rulemaking process to make sure that we understand what is required of us and what we can and can't accomplish. CIOs are involved because there's a huge information system that has to go to do this the right way. Folks are a little concerned about the tight time frame in 2008 and the fact that the federal government doesn't have a whole lot of excess money to provide to do the implementation. I wouldn't be very surprised if that date pushes a little bit. We are doing some advocacy at the federal level as well to make sure that that folks understand the constraints that we have in state government and that we don't have the ability to fund a large system by ourselves, and that it may take longer than the federal government is intending at this point. So we're very active with regard to that. But the challenges are many, and you kind of touched on it when you talked about whether this is going to be a kind of border security or whether this is going to be a driver's license bill. And folks in the federal government need to make some conscious decisions about what they want to do. I think the initial implication was that you would be trying to take DMVs throughout the country and make those folks, in essence, border security people that have a requirement to now protect identities in a way that they've never been required to protect identities in the past. That process is difficult. It's a huge change process on top of a huge system implementation. That being said, there's also an incredible opportunity here. Identity-based concerns are one of the largest concerns that citizens have in the country. And as a CIO, as a state CIO, I would love to have an identification, an identity system that would allow us to use good privacy-related information to identify folks for government services in a way that is consistent across the United States, so that we don't have to change things from state to state. So there's an incredible opportunity for identity and access management progress as we're doing this, and we're trying to make sure that that's included as we move forward. Let's not do a new driver's license bill or a Real ID bill without handling secure identification and authorization at the same time. So we've got this great opportunity. It's a great opportunity for private sector, but it's also an incredible opportunity for states to finally have a good, solid, centralized, federally mandated identity structure. Mm-hmm. So,
is this going to cost more in either taxes or fees for people?
I don't see right now how it wouldn't result in that. Remember, you're taking a process where now, at least in the state of Wisconsin, you're able to go to the DMV. Provide the information that you provide and get a license back that same day. Part of the Real ID requirements are that you provide this information now, and then they take that information and actually authenticate that it's real. In some cases, that's simple. If it's a Wisconsin-born person, they're applying in Wisconsin, that may not be very difficult. If it's a foreign-born individual, that may be an extremely difficult thing to hammer down. And some of the states, from state to state, differences in terms of birth certificates and other identification principles is extremely difficult. The time frame that people have been talking about is supplying a DMV with information and then hearing back 8 weeks after that process is done. So when I hear 8 weeks of process, I see dollar signs that are going to be expended, and those dollars have to be recovered somewhere. So I don't foresee how they're going to do that recovery, but I don't think it's a possibility to have this additional cost, large additional cost, without some form of cost recovery.
Okay. Well, what do you see as the future of these state-issued ID cards?
Well, you know, it's – and again, is that's a great issue that needs to be addressed. And what we need to do to settle the discussion is really come to an agreement with the privacy community about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable in terms of identification at either a state level or federal level. I think that's the real pressure point right now. And if we can come to a conclusion of that, we could finally have a unified set of standards for identification from state to state. That doesn't mean that you have a national identification card, but it does mean that the standards are consistent, and so information sharing can be better from state to state in a long term. So, I mean, like I said, it's a huge challenge, but it's also a huge opportunity for us to finally handle some of these tricky issues that we've got with identification and authorization.
And we understand that your office is taking steps to support information technology infrastructure across the entire state, including city governments and others. What steps are you taking? What results are you seeing?
Since the beginning of the Doyle administration, we've had a commitment to local government and to other government entities in the state. In fact, we've on the back of our business cards, all of our senior leaders have something that we call the BHAG, the Big Hairy Audacious Goal, which is to we're committed to revolutionizing state services by destroying the barriers to borderless government. That really comes from the input from citizens, that citizens don't differentiate. My mom doesn't differentiate local government where she needs to get certain licenses from a federal government. On the tribes, they don't view government entities as different. They view them as one organization. So the more that we can do to eliminate those former siloed activities, the better off we'll be. In terms of progress, we've seen some great things happen, and this is just in terms of information technology. We've extended all of the agreements that we strike at the state level to local governments. Microsoft Enterprise Agreement, our Lenovo Desktops agreement that we have as an enterprise agreement. Every agreement that we strike in terms of telecom and cell phones, we extend to local governments, which gives them our buying power. Their unit prices go down and the cost of government goes down without cutting back on services. And that's the clear goal for us.
That's terrific. What does the future hold for the state of Wisconsin? We will ask the Chief Information Officer, Matthew Machevsky, to discuss this with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.